Why should you yoni steam? Oh, honey, because neglect is not an option. Come on down to Pink Orchid Jacksonville and let us get your yoni right. 904-323-2155. Hey, hey, night shifters, you're listening to the edited radio version of Coaching After Dark with Coach Kim and Friends, the morning show for night shifters. For the full version, head on over to Spotify or Anchor and hear the uncut, unedited replay. Hey, Coach Isha. So you went and got some cookies.
Kingston dragged me to get some cookies, and I'm glad he did.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try them. And it's funny, while we were there, and I'm sorry. Hey, hey, night shifters, welcome to the show.
Hey, y'all.
Isha and I went to an anime convention. Well, it was supposed to be a convention, but I think it was more like a pop-up shop.
Yeah.
What it looked like. Yeah, so they did have cosplay characters walking around and a few vendors that were selling some pretty cool stuff, but it was in a shopping center here in Jacksonville. It's called the Tinseltown Shopping Center, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think Isha wants to give a shout out to one of the cookie companies over there.
No, listen, it is called Insomnia Cookies. I've seen them on social media like all the time. They always got advertisements, right? So the kids, of course, are all into it, even though they've never tried them, right? So we were getting in the car, and Kingston start yelling, "I think Insomnia cookies are here. I think Insomnia cookies are here." Well, they were, and actually they were right next door to where we work here.
I know, I saw it.
So they are warm, gooey, and delicious. But the big thing is that there's another big cookie advertisement on social media, Crumble Cookies. Have you heard of those, Kim?
No, I have not heard of them.
Okay, so from what the kids are saying, and I have not done the research, so listeners, if my kids are wrong, please let us know. But the kids are telling me this Crumble Cookies is owned by a group of Mormons.
Okay.
Okay. But Jesus did not make those cookies, Kim.
They were not divine. It was not from manna.
It was not. Those were not anointed cookies. So I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
They were the nastiest cookies I ever had in my life. They were cold. They taste like they came out of a freezer. Oh, they were terrible. But Insomnia cookies were amazing, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So I never heard of them. And I saw the marquee on the building, Insomnia Cookies, and I was like, wonder what that's all about. And I was like, I wonder if they have, like, if they're spiked. I don't want to say spiked, though, but, you know, have made out of weed.
Okay, I was thinking
what, yeah, are they edible cookies is what I was thinking. Like, what is that? And then I forgot because I meant to go over there and check them out, but I forgot. So I'm glad that you did go. So what kind did you get?
So I tried the chocolate chunk.
Uh-huh.
I tried the Hey.
we're talking about Insomnia cookies.
Yeah.
What kind of cookies?
Insomnia.
Okay.
You know, you've heard of those?
Yes.
Have you had them?
Sorry, no.
You just heard all my
media. CA is vegan, so he's not going to eat just anything.
Well, CA,
I've heard of them.
Yeti must be on the line. Hey, Mr. Yeti.
Yeah, Yeti in full effect.
Yeti be cutting people off. When Yeti come on the line, it's like nobody talk but me. I am the master. It's like we have a nice, full, smooth conversation, and Yeti step in, and then I hear every other word from each. Like,
just taking over. My bad. I'm gonna sit back. Go ahead, talk about the cookies. I'm gonna sit back.
Oh God. Okay. CA, they did have a vegan option for you, so you are welcome to try.
Awesome. I want to say, I don't know if it was somebody at work told me about them or not, but maybe I had a piece of one. I can't recall, but I am familiar, though. I am familiar.
Okay. Well, Coach Kim thinks it's possibly weed in the cookies, and I gave them to the kids today, so.
Hey, that'd be all right.
Why are they called insomnia cookies? I'm like, I didn't get it, and that's why I wanted to go over there and visit. Like, so why are you called insomnia?
Oh, hold on. Is this the cookie spot right by Super Saiyan?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been there. I dig it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
Awesome. Well, that's good to know. So, yeah. So, we checked out the little anime convention or pop-up shop or whatever you want to call it. And it was pretty cute. The kids had a nice time. So, yeah. So, they're looking forward to the big convention. The next big convention in Jacksonville, anyway, is in March. The next big convention nationwide is in Orlando in December. And they've got, like, all the hotels booked because I was going to take my son. But mm-hmm. You can't find a hotel.
Already.
Right. So, apparently, anime is a pretty big thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah. My stepdaughter and them went by there today because she loves, and anytime she's here, she's like, mm-hmm. Okay. Because she's all in the anime and whatnot, so they went today. So I thought you might have seen them, but you know, you had already left.
Oh yeah, I think we just missed them because when you sent the text, we were pulling up into the driveway. So I was like, oh man,
yeah.
So on today's show, Night Shifters, we have Gridiron Firearms Training, GIFT, give the gift of weapon mastery skills. I think that's how you say it. So I got my concealed weapons certification from them. And they've hosted a few classes in the Life Lab for others to get it. Isha, did you take a class with them?
I am not a gun owner.
Okay. And then CA doesn't need it because he's just, you know, was trained by Uncle Sam. I don't think you can get my in that. He learned firsthand.
Okay, CA, I see you.
So when I initially reached out to them, it was back when we were talking about all the changes going on and the possibility of martial law and all the gun shootings and everything. But our interviewee schedule was so booked that we're just now getting the chance to get to talk to them. So one, kudos to us for having so many guests.
Yeah.
And then much love to them for being as patient as they have been to be able to get onto the show. So it's nice to know that we have a waiting list now.
Look at us.
But speaking of, let's touch on our last guest, Miss Puff Mistress. Y'all, I love that show. I've listened to it a couple times. And she stopped by, I stopped by her shop yesterday because, as you know, she's opening a new location in the downtown area. And so I was like, let me pop in and see what's going on. And all I can say, because I told her I wouldn't tell anybody, but y'all ain't ready for what she got going on in that room. I cannot wait for our live broadcast down there. And I can promise you there is no other lingerie shop like it in Jacksonville, probably anywhere, but I'd say definitely not in Jacksonville. But yeah, she got some stuff going on in there. I love it.
Come through, Puff Mistress.
Yes. Anyway, so back to our guest for today. We're not talking lingerie today. We're talking about gun violence and shooting up folks. So, so Isha, you are not a gunner. What about Vance? Does he shoot?
No.
Okay. And CA, I know you and your wife both shoot. We're taught by Uncle Sam, but now with the kids in the house, she's really hesitant about, you know, how much is exposure the kids have to it.
Yeah. I mean, we're on opposite sides. You know, I want when she like the kids doing, like, that's why they make safes, gun locks, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That's an ongoing conversation. That's why I have like 5 knives. You know what I mean?
Right? I should have brought you. Oh, did you get a machete when we went to Africa?
Nah. I thought about it, but I was like, yeah, I'm good.
We have to sneak out and get you a machete. We'll have to get you a one of them gun safes or whatever that don't look like a safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I've been telling. I said, man, all you need is a, you know, gun lock, you know, something to do like a trigger lock or a safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bedroom. I mean, I know kids are kids and they like to explore. Hey, stay out of my room, but they still be, you know, on the inspector gadget type stuff. But, you know, we put a lock on it, put it up high enough, they can't get it like in the closet or something.
Yeah. And especially if they don't even know about it, they won't be curious. But then again, right. I don't, and I guess that's a question for the experts at this point in age. Do you tell them it's there and tell them don't touch it, or do you not tell them? I don't know.
I mean, with our grandkids, I mean, we're talking about 5 and 6 years old. So I would prefer not to tell. If it was teenagers,
yeah. Or,
cool, but you know, 5 years old, like, yeah, you don't need to know about it.
That's true.
No lie, y'all. When I was growing up, my best friend lived down the street, and this is in my old neighborhood before my mom and dad divorced. So, my mom and dad divorced, I was 12 years old. So, this has been my best friend from, you know, since I could go outside to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Every room in the house had a shotgun on the wall.
Okay, easy access.
But that's the kind of access I had to guns. They were not in no locks or nothing. They were just up on top of the wall, you know, on like a shelf he built.
Yeah.
So if someone came in the house, everybody had access to a shotgun and you shoot them. And I never touched it. And I guess because we saw it so much, it wasn't interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never played with Patika's. Well, shout out to Patika. I never played with that shotgun that was in her bedroom. Yeah. I had interest to.
And all the kids knew how to shoot it too, didn't they?
I would assume so, but I never saw them. I never.
Right.
We just never touched. We never thought about it.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of like in France where they walk around nude and topless and it's nothing to them. But over here in the States, like, people go crazy if they see a woman breastfeeding, like they just can't handle it. The right. Body.
But that's the culture. I think because that's the culture. You know, when you're born into that, it's, you know, they drink wine over there, nude beaches and whatever, topless beaches. It's the norm.
Right.
You know, so by the time you're 21, like, yeah, I done seen some boobs. I done shot some guns. We drink wine for dinner. I'm allowed to have one glass, you know. I don't know the studies, but I would assume alcoholism is probably a lot lower over there than here because you just accustomed to that, that, you know, here we try to suppress everything and make everything taboo. Do that. You don't need to see that. But, I mean, it's titties, man. It's titties.
Right.
My dad had a shotgun, so I've been shooting guns since I don't know, I was 11, 12. So I'm just, it's a gun. No.
Well, this weekend, before our guest chimes in, this weekend here in Florida was the classic. And the classic is Bethune-Cookman versus FAM. And it's a huge thing for the Black community here in Florida. We have the Battle of the Bands. And you know, that game is like the Super Bowl of HBCUs. So it's always a good time. I haven't been because I don't like a lot of people like that. But a lot of people went, and I do love the band. So in honor of that, I want to play this song called Go Time by VZ, which is a local artist. And of course, it features some HBCU-esque feel because it has the drum lines and all of that to it. So coming up next, Night Shifters, we have Go Time by VZ. And right after that, Gridiron will be on the line with us. Be right back. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that Go Time by local artist VZ right here in Jacksonville, Florida. It always makes me get up and move. So, CA, Isha, have you guys ever been to the Classic?
I have not. I've been to the Bayou Classic because, you know, I'm from the boot.
Okay.
The Bayou Classic in Louisiana. That's what we do.
Nice. Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Oh, I forgot. And look, can we rewind a little bit to where Isha called me a white girl?
Well, wait a minute. No, it's not that. Yeah, it is, like you said, Kim, it is too much people, too many things going on.
Too many.
Chanel, do we have Kareem on the line as well?
Kareem is getting on now, so he should be popping up in just a moment. Oh, good evening, okay. Everyone. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Gridiron Firearms Training. We have on the line Ms. Chanel and Mr. Kareem, who are the founders and owners and directors and facilitators and everything.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff. So if one of you wants to give us a brief rundown of what exactly Gridiron does, and then we can jump right into the conversation.
All right. Well, as you know, Kim, and we appreciate you. Let me put that out there first and foremost. Kim did take our concealed carry class. And then after taking the concealed carry class, she put together a class for her family and friends just to make sure that they could get that same excellent training as she did. And we appreciate you for that because she facilitated it, but we instructed it. So thank you for that.
No problem.
Well, Gridiron Firearm Training is just what the name says. We are trained in firearm safety.
You still with us? Alrighty then.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay. See, and I think that's why I wanted to put the earphones in. Because I don't know what's going on with this phone, but that's fine. No. The child firearm course, the concealed carry class, our goal at Gridiron Firearm Training is to simply make sure that any person who takes any service that we provide is trained on how to use a firearm and they know everything to do to keep it safe.
Okay. So we have on the line, well, you have me, of course, who is a complete newbie because you taught me. Then we have CA, our co-host, who is a veteran, has been shooting since he was, you know, a toddler. and then we have Isha, who has seen guns but has never touched a gun or taken any classes or anything. So I think this is a good group that has a little bit of everybody. You have, you know, the novice, you have the never touched it before, and then you have the experienced. So this should be good conversation.
Absolutely. And Kareem's a veteran also. So when he jump in, he'll be able to add his knowledge along with, how do you pronounce your name, sir?
Oh, Creighton.
Creighton. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sure y'all get along really well within the conversation.
Yeah. Look, we UCA, we don't use our real names on the show.
Oh, had he said CA, that's what I would have said.
It's all good.
So definitely, yeah, and actually, well, you don't go shooting though, do you, CA? You don't get the opportunity to.
Who are you talking
about?
You.
I didn't hear what you said. You just
get the opportunity to.
Yeah, you don't get the opportunity to go shooting. You know, to keep your
right.
Skills.
Right, I brought that up.
That's right, man. and you just go to the range.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. She said it so quick, I was shook. I was like, oh, she, okay.
Now you're running through your mental Rolodex. Did I do something wrong?
Right, you said that real quick. I was like, most of the time, you know, you be like, guns or whatever, but she said it so quick, I was okay.
Well, y'all moved out into the boondocks, that's why.
that might be part of it too.
Awesome. So the climate that we're in right now, first of all, I want to ask y'all, now CA and I have talked about this a little bit on the show, and I know Isha thinks I'm a little crazy, but martial law, what exactly is martial law? And this
All right. So when we hear the word martial law, we look at martial law as basically that is the military taking over all of the law enforcement, whether it's civil, federal, whatever have you. That is the military taking control of everything. That means there's no longer a judicial or legislative branches. It's only a militarized zone, militarized environment and community. That means every place that there's a police station or there would be local sheriff, local deputies, whatever, it would be overtaken and ran by military. Now, with that being said, has martial law happened before? Yes and no. No one has declared martial law in many of years. And when you think of martial law, you would think of it back in the Civil War time, whenever you had to travel or go anywhere, you had to stop at the outpost and be clear to be able to travel. You had to have something saying why you were going here and why you needed to go there, or why you was coming from, going wherever. Now, in our lifetime, with us being our age, we've never seen that. We saw this thing on TV. We've looked at things. We've seen checkpoints, you know, like when you think of COVID. Leaving and coming into Florida, there were checkpoints. It was police everywhere. There were volunteers. They were checking your driver's license, wanting to know where you came from, where you were going, how long you've been out of town, that type thing. If you look at that, those are like segues to martial law. And if martial law was to ever to come into full effect, it would be a total collapse of the government entity as we know it. Mm. Now, with that being said, one of your questions was, do I think that would happen or could happen? Mm-hmm. I believe everything is possible. Mm. Everything is possible. Because one, we have individuals that are running things in the forefront and behind the scene that are manipulating the masses. And the masses don't really know that they're being manipulated. Now, Kim, you'll try to take me somewhere else with this, and we ain't going there tonight. But martial law can happen. It can happen. Just know that. Yes.
Now, I'm going to try to drive you to all fours. I just want to know how to be prepared. Now, I'll tell you what. It's these, like you said, the media. I never, I'm what, 51 years old. I never heard of martial law until, like you say now, it's probably around COVID time. Everybody's like, oh, martial law. I'm like, I don't know what martial law is, but it sounds bad. I need to be ready. So I messed around and I watched American Refugee. It's a movie called American Refugee. Have either one of you guys seen it, Chanel or Kareem?
No, I haven't seen it, but I read enough to know what that would look like, and you know,
yeah,
quote unquote. Preppers, conspiracy theorists, I have all that in me, so I believe that.
So as far as like you were saying, what do you do to prepare?
Right.
It's something that should have been happening already. It's not anything you do when martial law appears. You should have a bug out bag. And if you don't know what a bug out bag is, that's a bag full of items that's going to help you survive. And it should have at least 72 hours worth of a supply of things for you, food, water, for each person in your family. So if it's a family of five, each person should have at least, at minimum, 72 mm-hmm. hours worth of food, water, supplies that will get you through.
Okay, so a bug out bag. So you're talking something bigger than just a backpack.
If we got, it can be a big backpack.
No, it can bag. Be a big backpack. Like a duffel bag, a sea bag. Because I walk around with a big backpack every day, and people be like, "Man, what you got in that backpack?" I say, if I tell you, I had a kid.
You know, another thing you would need to do is, like, say you're a person that's on medications. Mm-hmm. Begin to ration your medicine, unfortunately, because if martial law was to ever take place, you're not going to be able to move about like you normally do. Right. There's no free movement. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to want you to stay inside. And if you leave the home, you could be met as a hostile individual and they can take you down like that with no recourse.
Oh, wow.
So if you have medication, you're going to want to make sure you ration your medication so you can at least continue to survive on that medication. We recommend learning CPR, having an extensive first aid kit, not one with just the band-aids and things of that nature. No, know how to, if something happens and you were shot or stabbed, know how to close a or keep that wound from bleeding, a tourniquet, things of that nature. Not just your regular schmegular first aid kit, an extensive first aid kit. And Amazon has a lot of that stuff. But these are things you would need to do to prepare. But you should be doing this now. This isn't something, if you feel like martial law is a possibility, this isn't something you're going to wait for. This is like when a ish hits the fan. I don't know if I can cuss or not, so we'll just say ish. Ish can hit the fan at any time. So when ish hits the fan, you want to make sure you're prepared.
Okay. But yes, you can cuss because CA does it all shows every day.
My bad.
It's allowed here.
My bad.
But yeah, okay. So this bug out bag, I'm liking this. I'm taking notes. So I need a bug out bag. Now, I'm assuming that because this is, you know, firearms training, that we also need to be prepared to defend our homes.
Ooh, well, the thing with that is, if you have firearms, it'd be best that you hide them. Because if you come out with your firearm, you're going to be struck down, possibly.
So the key with that is, you know, and everybody's heard this before, and your grandmother said it, and we all know it. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand doing.
Mm.
Right? So when we're talking firearms in a bug out bag, of course you got to have firearms, all right? So a good rule of thumb, and this is just a rule of thumb, minimizing things here, right? So say you got 10 guns. You need 500 rounds for each gun you got. That's a minimum. Me personally, I say you need 1,000 rounds for each gun you got.
Okay.
Because now you're ready.
So this would explain the ammo shortage, right? Because those of us that, you know, the other people, they've been stocking up and preparing their bug out and their shelters and their rounds.
So when you look at ammo shortage, all right, there was a couple of things because of ammo shortage. One, when everything happened with COVID, so many people had to stay away from the office. Supplies got low. They could not make the demands. So say if they had a call or order for 10,000 rounds of 9mm, but they only had 35 workers. There's no way you could work those 35 workers that many hours to get 10,000 rounds of ammo produced, packaged up, and shipped out. And we're talking about built up, check the specs, check the amount of gunpowder that went in it, make sure you stamp it, 9mm Luger slug, all of this with 35 workers. There's no way you could do it. So that created the abundance 40 shortage, but also prior to that, a lot of people were just buying, overbuying, because a lot of people went into a frenzy when Trump was elected president. And I'll say this, a lot of our people did that, and now we done been lullabied back to sleep. La, 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 la. So the thing with that is that we are, and I'm just gonna go ahead and do this because this is me, we are emotional people. And every time we do something, we react off our emotion. And our emotion is equivalent to energy in motion. So that makes us do stuff, and that makes everything else around us start to react to us. Either it reacts to us in a way of it being for us or it being against us, because it doesn't know. It just reacts. You know, energy is energy. It just reacts. It don't know who's good and who's bad. It just is. So when we go about trying to capitalize on things, and now you have people who, I don't know, they said, what was the quote? Between 2016 and 2020, you had about 9,000 new gun owners or more. And predominantly of them were us, was melanated people. How many of those people really got training?
Right. Some people haven't even taken their firearms out of the box that they purchased it in. It's just sitting in the box.
And the ammo is just sitting there.
Right.
And I want to buy it.
Listen, reach out to gridironfirearmtraining@gmail.com. Let's talk.
I know, that's right. Okay, so before we go to switch to talking about the babies, CA, Isha, do you have any questions so far?
I'm good.
I have one question. So with the, I think my question is more about, what do you guys feel about the increase that we're seeing in mass shootings in America? And what should we do as law-abiding citizens? Should we be asking for more gun control from the government? I think my question is more about, what do you guys feel about the increase that we're seeing in mass shootings in America? And what should we do as law-abiding citizens? Should we be asking for more gun control from the government? Should we be open to keeping things the way they are?
All right, let me ask you a question first, because Kareem is itching to answer this, rubbing his hands together and everything looking like Birdman. First thing I want to ask you is, where do these shootings happen? In no gun zones. Gun-free zones are where these shootings happen. Just like the shooting, I'm going to give you just a little example before I give give the floor to Kareem. The theater shooting back in Colorado back in 2012, Aurora. That young man chose that particular theater because they banned guns. There were several theaters within 20 minutes of where he lived, but because those other theaters allowed concealed carriers to bring their firearms in, of course, as long as they're concealed, that was the only theater that banned firearms. So you think about it. He chose the one where he knew, he felt like no one there was going to have a gun. School shooting, no one there has a gun. So when you look at mass shootings, the bulk of these places, the bulk, not all, because the Buffalo shooting in Buffalo at the grocery store, some places don't all fit under that umbrella, but for the most part, those mass shootings happen in gun-free zones because those cowards know there are no guns there.
Yeah, weak target.
Facts. Exactly. You make yourself a soft target, a weak target, just like CA said, and those things happen. Now, one of the things that I like to tell people this is the media is always going to categorize a shooting of two or more people as a mass shooting. Two people being shot, or somebody brought a gun in somewhere, is that really a mass shooting or is that a targeted attack?
Targeted attack.
But the media would tell you there was a mass shooting. And the reason why the media pushes mass shootings and they push all this stuff and they want stricter gun laws and common sense gun laws is because Nazi Germany, when the Germans finally came into play and Hitler finally took total control, the very first thing he did was have people turn their guns in. When they turned their guns in, then they became slaves to the system. Because guess what? If you cannot defend yourself, how can you stand up against anybody else? You can't. And the other thing is, in China, there was a man with a knife. He stabbed 20-something people, killed 15 of them with a knife. Now, if somebody wants to commit mass murder, they're going to do it by any means necessary, right? Yeah. You're not going to stop that person. Whether they in New York where they took a car and they drove through a whole bunch of people, right? So when we look at talking about safer gun laws, the gun laws don't affect criminals, the people who are doing the wrong thing. Gun laws affect you and I, law-abiding citizens, as you said in your statement, that are doing the right things day in and day out. We get affected by that. So when we can't properly protect our family, now who we got to call? It ain't going to be the Ghostbusters. We got to call 911, and we all know how 911 fits into our communities for the most part. And when they show up, they show up, you guilty already.
And a lot of people don't know this, the police have no duty to protect you.
Facts. Policy.
The police, exactly. The police are not there to protect you until you are in their custody. And that was affirmed by the federal government back in 2018 with the school shooting in Parkland. Students filed suits against the people, the local government there. They failed us. This is how this happened. The federal government said the police, local government, has no duty to protect anyone unless you are in their custody. So the police aren't there to protect us.
With that being said, they're not there to protect you, but they're there to protect that building, that edifice. That's why I said they're policy holders. So if there's a business here, they already come in an agreement with the police under this policy saying, hey, you will protect this edifice from A, B, C, and D. All right. So if you're walking around and your car is your car, they really don't have no jurisdiction over that. But that's a whole nother thing. I ain't gonna go there. But when we go back to the common sense gun law, common sense gun laws have not helped America. Me, my personal opinion, the biggest thing that helps America when it comes to mass shootings is a good guy with a gun and education.
Yep.
The young man and all these other people who got these guns and created and went out and they committed these acts, most of them got their guns from their parents, a grandparent, somebody who didn't have their gun completely stored correctly, or somebody bought it for them as a gift and didn't give them any training.
He actually bought his. It said that in the article that he actually bought his two from like Gander, and I forgot what the other was. It was two of them stores like that. But not in all cases do they buy theirs.
Right. And then you think about it. Florida at one point, once you turn 18, you can buy a handgun and a rifle. Now the law has changed. You can't buy either until you're 21. Now I know I grew up in Carolina where we used to come to school with a gun rack in the back of the truck. We would go prior to school. And then you it wasn't nothing to see a deer on the back of somebody's truck and they don't school for 8 hours.
Yep.
Because that's what we did. And it was no mass shootings then. Right. So people say, oh, well, you know, the climate has changed. People are so stressed out. What has stressed the people out?
Okay.
That's the question.
Yeah. So that leads to go ahead.
Okay, so I don't get to talk to gun owners this much. So
she getting her questions in.
I'm getting all my questions in. Okay, but no, I just have one more question. So I understand what you're saying about the common sense gun laws and how you feel about those. But what does that mean for you guys when it comes to like the AR-15s? Do you think it's a good idea to have this kind of those kind of guns available to everyday Americans?
Okay, so listen. Say somebody knock on your door. You don't know who it is. You look through your peephole, you see one subject that you ain't never seen before. And coming behind them, 3-4 more maybe, and they busting your door. Okay?
Okay.
Now granted, a properly trained shooter, Kareem probably could get away with just popping off maybe one or two. If you're not properly trained, you might need a little more than that. And they probably coming with an AR. Like he said, criminals don't abide by the laws. So if they're coming in with a certain gun, because no matter how much they take these guns away from us and off the street, do you think criminals don't have a way to get them? They've been getting them. So they'll still have them. So when they bust into your home with this home invasion and you sitting in here with a pellet gun, sister, you giving yourself right on up to the criminals.
Right.
So an AR, and granted, you don't have to have an AR, but it's always good to have. What's the old saying, Kareem? It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
I have it.
Exactly. So if you have an AR in your home and you have it there and you need it, great. When this situation happens, you can protect yourself with it.
Okay.
Now, when we look at this term AR-15, and I'm going to ask you this. I didn't quite catch your name. What was your name?
Is it Aisha? Aisha?
Aisha.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you this. And I know you say you don't talk to gun owners much, so I'm going to ask you this since you brought up the question. What does the AR in AR-15 stand for?
I thought it was assault rifle.
And that's what most people think.
Exactly. That's what the majority of people think, because you have heard it so much on the TV, on the radio. An assault rifle came through and he shot up 30 fucking people. But the AR in the AR-15 stands for armor light. It doesn't stand for assault rifle. In the military, now, I'm a Marine, all right? We never call our rifle an assault rifle. It's just our rifle. It's our rifle. Whatever rifle it is, whatever caliber it is that. So that term assault rifle came in to demonize that gun, mm-hmm. only to try to get it off the streets. Because you know who got these guns more so than anybody else?
They do.
Police.
The police and they, like you said, CA, yeah. They do.
Right. And the majority of us is not buying an AR-15. And if somebody breaks into my home, I am the owner of many things, right? And if somebody breaks into my home, the AR-15 is not the first thing I'm grabbing.
Right.
I'm grabbing my handgun because I can easily manipulate that. I can get around corners and I can scrap right away. Because my thing is, if you come in here, I don't shoot the lead. I don't shoot the kill, but I shoot the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You die in the process, you know, that's on you.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't, you don't want to take nobody life. I'm just saying, you don't want to take nobody life. Mm-hmm. Those are things you have to deal with for a long time. The AR-15 has been demonized as a firearm. If you notice through this whole conversation here, not one time has myself or Chanel said a weapon.
They never will.
We won't say that because anything can be a weapon. I can pick up a speaker off this floor and you run up on me. If I can swing it, I will knock your head off.
All the way
off. The computer, whatever it may be.
Right.
Legal weapon of opportunity.
Right. Anything that's
like John Wick.
Right. Okay.
So hopefully we answer your question about those two. But I will tell you this. AR-15 is not something that a regular person is gonna grab and start shooting.
Right.
All right. Now, when you see the individuals on TV, like you saw the couple where the people were marching and they came out on their lawn with that long gun. Let's think about this. They say that most people get trucks because they're compensating for something, right?
Right.
So if I'm grabbing that AR-15 and I'm walking out on my lawn, what am I compensating for?
It's a lack of something.
Yeah, it's a lack of something. And it's strictly for what? Intimidation.
Yeah.
That's what that is. But hunters, people who go hunt, people who shoot for sport, the AR-15 is a very easy gun to manipulate and also to use out in that atmosphere. Now, can it be used in a war zone? Yeah, but we don't use AR-15s. We don't use AR-15s. Most people don't know that. They think this is a military style. Military don't use AR-15s.
Right.
Definitely we use M16, M14. M2. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got Creedmoors. We got different long guns that we use, but it's not an AR-15.
Wow.
But that's what the media would have you to believe.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to jump into the conversation to talk about the kids. Now that we have all of that, and we talked about the open shooting situations and things, so... you know, the kids have code reds now. You know, we had fire drills back in our day or tornado drills, and now they're doing code reds. So
that's so sad.
I know. And how do we, like, is there anything you would advise we teach our children to do in an active shooter situation?
Well, first and foremost, you're going to go by the rules of the school. What your administrators tell you to do, you don't want to look like that bad kid that is bucking the system. But I would also tell my child, and you have to know your child and your child's maturity, to be perfectly honest. If you hear that, you need to make sure that they understand and know the difference between a gunshot and a firecracker. They hear something pop off, that's a gunshot. You know, tell your children, be mindful, listen out to what they, you know, what's going on around them. They can tell their teacher, this is what's going on, we need to leave. And if they tell their teacher that, and the teacher say, well, we're not going anywhere until I say so, baby, you got permission from mama, you got permission from daddy. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and leave because I know what I heard. If I get in trouble, I'm gonna let my mom and daddy know this is what has happened. But of course, abide by the rules that the administrators have given to you. But if you hear something and you know it's a firearm, don't wait for them to say code red, code blue, or whatever it is, and then you try to y'all hiding in a safe place. What if that safe place in that classroom is where that shooter is? Right. So then what? Now the mortician and the people know where all the children are. Oh, they was in a safe place, and now they gone. I would much rather you get a detention note or a ISS or out-of-school suspension than for us to have to plan your funeral. If you hear it, you tell your teacher, and your teacher don't want to make a move, I'm going to go ahead somewhere safe. I'm heading outside.
Yeah, be like that SpongeBob meme. All right, I'm head on out.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So when we think about that, they have a code red for active shooter, right? So I still have young children. Matter of fact, you know, now my children are a little older. You know, they're 16, and my son just turned 18 this past week. But at 8, 9 years old, they were shooting. And I mean, by the way, we have pictures of my daughter shooting the AR-15 at 10 years old. Matter of fact, it came up in some memories today. 6 years ago, this is what she was doing, right? So one, you as a parent, if you are trained or if you study research, you already know how the school is built. We already know how the school is built. So first thing is, when you hear that gunshot, already get ready, right? Now, you start to count. When you hear the second gunshot, boom, you count again, because now that tells you how close or how far away the gunman is to you. But as you're counting, you're already starting to move further away from the gunshot. The further away from the gunshot you are, the safer you are. Now, with that being said, now you have to barricade yourself somewhere. You will put yourself in a room or someplace where there is no windows, right? The door can only open from the inside, and you want to be able to put something in front of the door to add the extra support. But you want to make sure that all cell phones are on vibrate or off. Every child in school today got a phone. That phone would give away your location like that.
ASAP.
Like that. So we, you know, and in my other program, I taught active shooter training to the kids, told them what to do, how to do it, when to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then I had them go through and teach it back to me, tell me what they're supposed to do. All these things can be done in the home with your children. We teach the child firearm course, and we're teaching the kids the familiarization of a firearm, what to do if your friend finds a firearm. We talk over firearm safety, and then we act out a time where a kid will find a backpack or something with a gun in it. And we teach those kids how to do, in a lack of better terms, hostage negotiation. We teach them how to talk to that other kid who has that gun to keep his mind off of that trigger and say different things like, hey, you should point that down at the ground. My mom has one just like that. Hey, take your finger off the trigger. That's not good to put your finger on the trigger. And then start to explain it to them. And then start talking about other things. And be like, hey, I think I should go get whatever other friend there is so he can see it or she can see it, right? You wait right here. Now, you don't turn your back to them. You start walking away slowly. When you get to a certain distance, now you turn and run and tell the first adult you see. But the thing is to keep that child's mind occupied away from that trigger by talking to him. Hostage negotiation, really, because what you doing to the person who's taking somebody in the hostage? You're talking to them. You're trying to keep that person's mind off of what's happening in the back. Because in the back, SWAT's coming.
Yeah.
And if it's my child, daddy coming.
I know that's right.
Now, Kim, you had asked about what age should a parent introduce children to firearm safety. Our class starts at age 5. But everyone knows it's really, it honestly, it's based on the maturity of your child. You may have a very mature 4-year-old that can talk to you like you talk to another adult. Mm-hmm. Out of the child firearm courses that we've taught, there was one little girl that sticks out above every last one of them. They all did well. This little girl was 5 years old. Her mom drove up 5 hours from South Florida because she said there were no classes like that to teach her child, and she has a firearm in the home. So they drove up 5 hours from South Florida, 5-year-old little girl. She had other children, of course, that were older than her. But when I tell you, she and I think Sean's son was in that class. And I think those two, the one that you took to the range to shoot with you. What you call him? Yeah, Stone Cold. Yeah, Stone Cold. That's what I knew was an S. But yeah, and his son is how old? 14, 15? Yeah. So you see the age gap? You had a 5-year-old. And a 14 or 15 year old, however old he was at that time, they were the two best students in the class. That young lady answered questions. She listened. She asked questions when we had her do her stance, when we had her taught her her grip. Go ahead. What would you give her?
And then the role play.
Listen.
It was off the charts. And you can see that video.
Yeah, we have video of it on our Facebook and Instagram.
You can see that. And the thing about that is, when people think about that age difference, see, we got this little song that plays, and that little song start going, and it's just like the song. Like, we can hear this rap music today, we can listen to it, we can disagree, agree, whatever. But if it's got a catchy hook or beat, we start locking in on it. That's the same thing we do in class. We play that song. No, don't touch.
Stop.
Yep, stop. Don't touch.
Run away.
Run away and tell the grown-up. When we start playing that and it has the little tune to go with it, everybody in class starts singing.
Right.
So that becomes muscle memory now. Because right. Those lyrics are starting to ride on your head. Stop. Don't touch. Run away and tell the grown-up.
So even if they don't use
like a that.
Firearm, you
CA's
can definitely...
gonna sing it. What? CA gonna sing it.
Now you put it on UTA. Yeah. So even if you don't have a firearm in your home or you don't want them to use an actual firearm itself, at least equip your child with the knowledge, the education to know what to do. If they walked outside and saw a firearm, there we go. If they walked outside and saw a firearm on the ground, stop. Don't touch. Run away and tell a grown-up. You got a friend who has a firearm. Like Kareem said, hostage negotiation, basically. You know, in your mind, you're not going to touch it. Tell them, keep the finger off the trigger. We go over the fundamental, not the fundamental, the universal firearm rules, safety rules. So they know these things. They know, keep it pointed in a safe direction. Keep your finger off the trigger. They know these things when you're given proper education. So they can then school their friend, like Kareem was saying earlier. And it gives them a fighting chance to survive when there's a gun around.
Mm. You know? And we'll talk to them, you know, if they're in that situation and they can find cover, then we have them find cover. Mm-hmm. We don't want them to just conceal. We want them to find cover in that moment. Now, in the school system, active shooter, we want them to find, be able to conceal themselves, conceal and cover. And there's a difference. And most people don't understand what the difference is between the two. So
bullets don't go through the other.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're right. Exactly. And that's why we're so big on the education portion of it. Right. Every time we do an interview, anytime we talk to people, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's in everyday life, the biggest things about firearm man is education. The biggest thing about anything in life is education. You know, if we all trying to get healthy, we trying to lose weight, we trying to, you know, purge our system, whatever it may be, we got to do what? We got to educate.
What's the best problem?
We got to educate, right? Yep. Everything we do, we got to educate.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't get to all the questions and our time is up, but man, oh man, I can talk to you.
Wow. Yeah.
So let's get to the important stuff. First of all, do you have any classes coming up? And two, how can the people reach you?
Absolutely. We have a concealed carry class, and right now we have a holiday offer going on. Buy one, get one half off. So our classes are $105, which is relatively cheap. If you look online and you look at what most places, what most independent instructors charge, that's relatively cheap. And 105, and then you get the other one half off. So bring a friend, bring a family member, and that's good through December 1st. Then after that, everybody is 105 a piece. So that's the concealed carry class. We do have the women's handgun and self-defense fundamentals class. They will resume in January, 2nd and 4th Sundays. And it's a basic class, pretty much going over what we went over today and going a little more extensively. And it's just for women ages 15 and up. So if you have a teenage daughter who you want to be able to make sure she knows how to handle a firearm and handle herself when one's around, that's a great class for that. Let's see. We always have on-range training. Just reach. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got on-range training. That's open. That's available upon request. Mm-hmm. That's you know, at the customer's availability and our availability, of course. Mm-hmm. Reaching us, you can reach us on Facebook. Reach us on Instagram at Gridiron Firearm Training
at LLC.
Oh, that's right. On either one of the social media platforms. And then our email is gridironfirearmtraining@gmail.com.
And the phone number?
The telephone number is 904-810-8122. We take texts and all that. Again, the training that we provide, some people say, oh, $105 is a lot. But if you look at any review we have on Google, on Facebook, wherever it may be, you talk to anybody who's taking our class, you're getting more information and better training than the $105 should allow for you to have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can attest to that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. I know you guys go shooting. Are there any black owned gun ranges here in Jacksonville or Savannah?
Sadly, no.
Okay.
No, there isn't. But I keep saying this every time. But you know, if we're gonna crowdfund, crowd share, whatever, I am willing to do it.
Right.
Let's make it happen, Captain.
But where we do go that treats us like family is On Target Sports in Orange Park on Wells Road. When we walk in, we are treated as if we are actual staff there. You wouldn't know the difference. And that is why we will go out of our way. I live in Arlington and Kareem lives over that side of town. But even when I train, I will come from Arlington. There's some closer to me. I'm going to On Target Sports every time because if I'm going to spend my money with you, I want you to treat me like I'm a valued customer.
Right.
I don't want to be treated like what I look like. And that's how you're feeling at the moment.
Yeah, let me look at me. Let me look back at you. And I might tell you, take a picture at last, mom.
On Target. Shout out to On Target in Orange Park.
Yep, absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I know we'll be reaching out again, and I'll blast all this, of course, on all of our social media. And did you say when the next class is? I know you said it's 105.
Yes, ma'am. It's December 10th.
December 10th. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And make it
special up until
December 1st.
Okay. All right.
All right. And well, before we leave, we got to tell you.
What's up?
First and foremost, you are your first responder, okay? So I want everybody to remember that you are your first responder. You don't have time to wait for Popo to get there or whatever. So make sure you're able to take care of yourself, handle yourself. Refuse to be a victim.
Live free, and train often.
Yep. Amen to that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. And I will definitely be in touch. And until next time.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Good
night.
All right. Y'all want to debrief on that one?
Yeah, we can.
So what you think?
Oh, so many things.
This is so many things.
So many things. I am, like y'all heard, I'm not a gun owner. I'm not a gun lover. And I do believe in gun control, and I do not believe we have enough measures in place.
Like what?
I think we should be getting the guns that are shooting out like 10 bullets at a time. I think those definitely need to be off the streets, including out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. I do think we should have more extensive backgrounds. I do think that there should be more mental health clearance on guns. I think relying on the Constitution that was wrote in 1776 to make decisions about 2022 problems is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They had to put balls,
gunpowder,
10 pounds. Yeah. Ben Franklin was not getting shot by AR-15. So I think we need more comprehensive gun control in America. But at the same time, I don't want to take away everybody's guns. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that when we hear Democrats speak, or liberals, or whatever you want to call them, people hear we want to take away guns. I don't want to take away your guns. I want you to have the freedom to have a gun. But there just has to be more responsibility around guns for everybody.
Gotcha.
And I don't think gun owners sometimes take that into consideration the way they should.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, what you think, CA?
I agree with most of it. I just think we do need better laws, do better background checks. You know, you got to vet these people out. You know, I forget how long it takes to get a gun now, but you know, you shouldn't be just walking in a gun store on Monday and Tuesday. Yeah, come pick up your gun. You know, submit the paperwork. You know, just like people do. Like the bank do a credit check on you, and you got to submit all this stuff to get a house.
Right.
You know, and we talking about a house. You know, get the bank loan. You know, do the same thing with guns. You know, submit paperwork. Okay, we're gonna take a look at it. We're gonna look at, you know, your history. Maybe talk. I need a couple references. You know, give me 4 reference for people that vouch for you or whatever. You know, for your, you know, your moral character and all that kind of stuff. And we don't want to take away the rights of people to bear arms, but like you said, this is 2022. You know, people were shooting muskets when they made these laws. You know, now we walk around, people got 100 round clips.
Right.
You know, it's a lot different now. So you need to make amendments and addendums or whatever to gun laws. And if they want them, they're gonna get them. I get that. You know, guns are being sold on the black market all the time or whatever. I get that. But for your common John Doe person getting a gun, I feel like it should be some type of limitations. Hey, you know, you can only get a 10 round magazine, or you can only purchase revolvers. You know, you don't need 50 mags, 50 round, 100 round magazines, you know, semi-automatic. What you shooting, the Predator? You know, who you trying to kill? What are you protecting? You know what I'm saying? I feel like 10 rounds should be enough for personal protection, you know, to at least to evaluate. You know, somebody breaks in, okay, I got 10 rounds. And if you can't hit with your whatever the target is in 10 rounds, then maybe you need to get more practice.
Right, yeah.
You know, but if we had laws like that in place, then everybody got the same thing. You know, you know whoever's doing the shooting, well, I know they only got 10 rounds.
Yeah.
They only got 10. So, you know right. what I'm saying? I'm not worried about somebody unloading the whole clip. They only got 10 shots, you know? So I remember being in, I can't remember if it was Korea or Japan. One of them, but you know, nobody has guns. Only the police have guns.
Mm-hmm.
And got revolvers. They don't have, I mean, unless you got, you know, like unless like a SWAT or something like that, okay, they got semi-automatics, but most only have revolvers. They may have some 9mm, but they're the only people that have guns. The regular citizen does not have a firearm.
Yeah.
And that cuts down on a whole lot of active shooters and just people getting shot randomly. Mm-hmm. But yet, yeah, we had this law in place for so long. Now you try to tell people that's NRA or whatever, hey man, we got to change the gun laws. No. You can't take my gun.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah. You know that, all boy, like they always say, just follow the money. They're making too much money off of ammo, off of production, off of all of that. So the gun makers, they don't really care about your rights as a gun owner, but they're going to that spark to make you think, oh, they're taking away your rights so that you fight to keep them in business.
Right.
So follow the money. Follow the money.
Follow the money. And I don't know the statistics off the top of my head, but I remember reading one time, gun owners are not Batman. They are not coming in saving the day the way that gun owners sometimes have this fantasy about, you know, that gun owners are the ones that are stopping the burglars or
that's the movie. The
old lady purse from getting snatched. That's not happening.
Yeah, that's only in the movie.
Yeah, guns are actually being used against other family members or in murders, you know. They're not Batman.
Right, right.
Well, I think it depends on which gun owner you're talking about. Because the gun owners that I know, they like for real Batman. Like, you know, I mean, like, but that's because they've been properly trained and they have respect for the gun.
And do you know of an actual crime they stopped?
With a couple of them I do.
Oh, well, see, I haven't heard.
Well, okay, let me back that up. Within their own home. I'm not saying they're out trying to save the world and be Batman public. I'm talking about as defending their home and having the ability to defend their home, because that's all where respect for the gun comes from, is, you know, respect for the gun. And I'm not just going to be popping off and trying to take somebody's life, or, you know, I'm not going to jump in front of a bullet for you because I got a bullet. No, but I am going to protect my home and my family. Mm. Yeah. I don't know anybody that just, yeah, like you said, tries to be Batman and goes out and tries to defend the public. Those parts,
you know what I'm talking about, where they keep saying, oh, if it was gun owners if there were more gun owners there, then they would have stopped the bad guy.
Yeah. Still got to get to it. You still die. You can have five guns in the house and still die.
Yeah, I would say that sounds more like those that are untrained, those that just get a gun, you know, like. If you've been properly trained and have that respect, then your conversation is different when it comes to guns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Coop, I go to, he's like, you know, your friend, he has a gun in every room. He has weapons stashed all throughout his house, but you never know. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. But he shows where they are, you know, in case I need to get to him or whatever. But, right. And keeps one on him at all times, but you never know. You sitting there right next to him. Yeah, he's got one on him. He's strapped. Like, and Chanel and Kareem, they're strapped everywhere they go. Most of my friends are strapped, so I don't have to be, because they are.
They are.
But you never know.
I live in that naive life. I'm 42, and it hasn't happened yet that I need a gun, and God, please allow that to continue to happen for me. I'm not being boastful, but yes, I have not had a reason to have a gun. I have never felt so fearful that I felt like I needed to walk around with a gun on me.
Right.
And
same here. Same here. And I've always felt safe in that way that I haven't used one. But having one in my home, just for, you know, protective reasons. You know, you can try to come in if you want to. That's why
thing. I was telling what I said. I said, I don't really want to walk around with it every day. But, you know, of course, the home goes, you know, having one in the home. It's my thing.
Like our cousin Andrew says, that's why she keeps shotguns. Because all she got to do is click, click, just cock it back. Just the sound.
But you know what? I will say this. As blue as I am and liberal as I am when it comes to gun control,
as Zion is preparing to go to college,
mm-hmm.
I told you guys in our chat before, things are starting to go in my mind. Like, mm-hmm. how much protection do I want her to have? What does she need to have on her? You know, so I guess as life is changing for me, things are loosening up a little bit. So we'll see if she'll be in that class in January.
Well, I don't think it would hurt for her to have the class just for the knowledge, but I don't think she would have to go as far as carrying one. Now, if I remember correctly, she's already familiar with guns anyway. She can shoot anyway, right?
She can shoot. She was in Young Marines.
Yeah, so I mean, but I mean, like Karima Chanel said, it doesn't have to be a gun to be a weapon when it comes to defending herself. Anything can be a weapon.
Yeah, she's good with a knife.
Well, there you go.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lorena is all it takes, I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Ouch.
Now, that's self-defense for you.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Past mistakes haunting you? Ex-lovers still on your mind? Just can't seem to move on to the next step? Well, who are you gonna call? Definitely not Ghostbusters, but you can call me, Coach Kim. Your life, your coach. I'm here for you. Coach Kim's Life Coaching, 25 North Market Street, 904-323-2155. A new you, a new life, a vibrant life. Let's get it.
Thank you for listening to Coaching After Dark with Coach Kim. If you're an artist and want your music played on my podcast, send me a text at 904-323-2155. My email address is coachkim@coachkim.net. If you'd like to reach out to me on social media, it's at Coach Kim for Life. Thank you. Hope to hear from you soon. And once again, thanks for listening.